97.5 The Fanatic.
Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What's going on, Philadelphia? Joe Torti here with you, 97.5, The Fanatic. And boy, oh boy. The question, I've never seen more wailing and gnashing of teeth as after a Sixers win over the Boston Celtics. 109-98, strong second half performance from the Sixers, downs Boston, and they moved to 3-0 against Boston on the season. And now, of course, we start to see what things look like. Life without Joel Embiid looks like. Now, the Sixers themselves, probably better equipped than they've been ever at any time in the past to deal with the loss of Joel Embiid. He's going to be out for at least a couple of weeks with his finger dislocation, ligament damage, etc. Had the surgery to repair a torn radial collateral ligament in his ring finger of his left hand. As you know, generally speaking, the rule when it comes to Joel Embiid is that the Philadelphia 76ers will always err on the side of caution when it comes to injuries to the franchise centerpiece. So you get it. You understand it. He'll be reevaluated in a couple weeks. Likely he's on the shelf longer than that. However, despite the fact that the Sixers, well, they do have a lot of experience in this arena. Over the last 3 years, Joel Embiid's missed 88 games combined. But from a personnel perspective, they're much better equipped to handle this now at this point. You bring in Al Horford from the Boston Celtics. Defensively provides a presence that allows you to somewhat offset the loss of Joel Embiid. You've got Ben Simmons showing his capabilities of playing the center position. Brett Brown was intrigued by that, obviously. And you heard from Brett Brown earlier today. We'll hear again from Brett at some point here during the 6 o'clock hour. But you have backup point guards in whom you have a decent amount of faith. Trey Burke is playing well. Howell Neto was brought in to be the backup point guard. So clearly you have faith in both of those guys. However, having said that, of course, there is no real upside to Joel Embiid being injured. He's such a difference maker for the team. Fortunately, the injury doesn't really seem all that serious. He should be back, well, in like a month. Is that what we're going to say? Be back in about a month? So you're way, way ahead of the close of the regular season. But here's what we do know. We know that naturally, Ben Simmons is going to be asked to step up in ways that he has not been asked to step up in extended time in the past. We've seen Simmons elevate his game in the past when Embiid has been out. We saw it a couple of years ago when Embiid missed the end of the regular season. And it was during that 16-game win streak where Ben Simmons really took off and shouldered a lot of the scoring lead. But the conversation around Ben Simmons, when people talk about the jump shot, the lack of a jump shot, the lack of aggressiveness, it's always been possible to write all of that off as Ben Simmons doing what he thinks is the best basketball thing, which is to say, getting Joel Embiid involved as best he can, finding open shots for Josh Richardson and for Tobias Harris, playing the point guard distributor role, trying to keep everybody happy while finding your spots in transition, utilizing your ability to turn defense into offense with your speed with the ball, etc., etc. However, with Joel Embiid out at this point, we might be getting our best chance to see what the progression of Ben Simmons has looked like. And of course, the other half of that coin is that your slowest player, with all due respect to Joel Embiid, is no longer on the floor due to this injury. So you're going to see the Sixers start to push the pace and play more of an up-tempo style that really fits what Ben Simmons has wanted to do this entire time, or at least when he's been at his best. And then, of course, asking him to shoulder the scoring load and to do more than he's done in the past, you're going to get a great look at what life with Ben Simmons as your star player looks like. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of pieces to fill in. Obviously, it's not just Al Horford. It's not just Ben Simmons playing the center. It's not just any one or two guys. But I have to admit, I'm intrigued a little bit to see how the Sixers manage to keep things together without Joel Embiid, considering the fact that he's been their most important player. We talk about the talent on the roster, all of the starters, all of the depth players, all of the supporting cast. Well, now we get the first really good chance to take an up-close and personal look at what it looks like when other players are asked to do more of the heavy lifting. When other players are asked to do more of the scoring, the defensive responsibilities, rebounding, etc. And I have to admit, early returns do look way more encouraging than even the most optimistic Sixers fan would say. I'm not making any grand statements on the composition of the team. I'm not saying who belongs and who doesn't belong, and you've got to get rid of this guy and get rid of that guy. But a couple of things are definitely true. The spacing on the floor was better last night. When you don't have Joel Embiid on the floor, Ben Simmons has the space that he thrives in, that he craves in order to make his game work. He shot 9 of 15 from the field for 19 points, had 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 turnovers. Played 38 minutes and 42 seconds. Now, he didn't think it was a big deal that he was playing center. He said, I just play. I don't really look at positions. If you can play, you can play. Just tried to make the right play. And then he talked about how he likes relying on his strength to defend the big guys, etc. And then, of course, there was Brett Brown after the game saying that I've wanted to try Ben at 5, and we did, and I suspect that you'll be seeing that again. Does this mean that Ben Simmons should be the starting center for the Sixers? No, I'm not saying that at all. I've heard people talking about trading Joel Embiid, where Joel Embiid is one of the very, very few. And I mean, it's the number's smaller than you think. Very few players that it would be nearly impossible to get equal trade value for in the NBA. So I think a trade is off the table. But if you're asking for what is this team made of, what can Tobias Harris do as a max player? What's the next step in Josh Richardson's development? Who has Ben Simmons turned into? What has he been working towards in the offseason? And now with more offensive responsibility on his shoulders, what could things look like offensively for the Sixers especially? Defensively, Embiid is a big loss, but you've got a lot of horses defensively. You do wonder what the offense is going to look like. Where is the scoring going to come from? And especially on the glass, are they going to be enough as a team to make up all those rebounds? Your phone number to join the conversation is 610-632-0975. You can also reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. And we have a lot to get to. I'm going to talk about the Sixers a lot during this hour. And, of course, I talked about the Brett Brown press conference. That'll be coming up at some point here during the 6 o'clock hour. Josh Rabick's producing, so I'll huddle with Josh and we'll try to put that together. We've got some Eagles to discuss as well. We've got a lot of developments, obviously, since the last time we spoke. Last time that we got together, we were hacking apart that Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman press conference about how everybody was going to be together. And, you know, who knows about Jim Schwartz, but certainly Mike Groh and Carson Walsh are going to be here and blah, blah, blah. Well, that was a whole different world a couple days ago. So we got a jam-packed show here and a lot to get to. Rob Motti will join me at 8 o'clock and we'll team up for the 8 to 10 o'clock hours. And he'll carry you from then on until midnight. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard. And when you look at the Sixers, the question on the table is, what are you looking for with Joel Embiid sidelined? What are you thinking that you're going to get out of the team? Because I was talking to Tyrone Johnson in between the breaks, between Mike's show and this show, and he said that he was getting people yesterday during the game talking about how the tank is on for the Sixers and how you're not meeting expectations and therefore should start tanking and throwing the season in the toilet and seeing what you can get in terms of draft position. We've heard this. We've seen this. It's not new. We're going to talk about what the team looks like with Simmons as the offensive focal point. We're going to talk about what it's like without Embiid on the offensive end, the good and the bad there. But, I mean, when you're talking about a guy who's the level of Joel Embiid, you're talking about more positives than negatives that he brings to the table. But there are certain things about the Sixers offense that I would anticipate, if yesterday's game was any indication, you're going to see more of here moving into the future. Let's start things off with Raheem in West Philly next on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Raheem?
If you put it close to where it goes on the
ground. Hello?
Hey, how are you?
Yes, how you doing?
Good. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I got two plays. I got a Sixers play and an Eagles play.
Okay.
Right? Now, my Sixers play is this. My Sixers play is this. And remember Ben Simmons, what was this? That his rookie year when Joel Embiid went out. Remember him and folks collided, Joel Embiid
yep.
went out, and then we went on that 16-0 run.
At the end of the season. Yep.
At the end of the season, right? Now, I know the whole city because I even said it, right? Let's trade Ben Simmons. But let's just say, hypothetically speaking, we go on a tight run like that. I'm talking about we win a lot of games while Joel Embiid is out, right? We honestly got to start looking at, because I don't think you said it. I heard you say it. I don't think you're going to get true value for either or, for one or the other. You're not going to get true value for Ben Simmons, or you're not going to get the true value for Joel Embiid.
Sure.
Right? So, but if we go on a nice tear and a run like that, you really got to start looking at Joel Embiid. You really got to do it like, listen, we got to build something like how Milwaukee done with Giannis. I said, I looked at it like this. The players we had, right, we had a bunch of shooters, right, that year. I think we should have had, I think that's how our team should be structured now, with a bunch of shooters, shooters that can play defense.
Well, those guys are tough to find. I mean, that's the problem. You got to go out and find those guys. Every team in the league wants those guys.
Yeah, you're right. But that's how we should be modeling our team.
I'm with you. I'm with you. What do you have on the Eagles, Raheem?
I got under the Eagles, right? Now I got a Carson Wentz point, right? I was just reading a report came out saying that Carson went to the coaches and said, well, went to the doctor and said, look, this and that's going on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man, I'm really starting to think that guy himself, man. Reason being I'm saying this, because our running back Miles Sanders.
Yep.
He played with he had a hurt ankle. He had something that was torn in that game. Now I'm hearing that the quarterback, our backup quarterback, he had a torn something. Like, come on. Like,
yeah.
Come on,
well, man. I mean, yeah, the thing is, Raheem, you're not going to, and thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. You're not going to develop depression and mental issues and lack of cognitive ability and things like that from a torn hamstring. Like, the CTE concussion deal is, like, the most serious thing in the NFL. That was why it was such a big deal that Kamu Grugier-Hill tried to hide it as a stinger or shoulder injury or whatever it was. And that's why there was so much backlash. I would not call Carson Wentz soft because he reported a concussion. Now, having said that, incredibly gutsy for Miles Sanders to be out there banged up like he was. Reading that Josh McCown in the second half played with a hamstring that was literally torn off the bone for the entire second half of the game is pretty outrageous in terms of toughness. But, I mean, the problem is that I don't necessarily see why you have to tie one to the other, because a brain injury is just, it's not the same. Brain injury is just in its own class. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, with Joel Embiid, I would not trade Joel Embiid regardless of what the results are. One, because you can't get value, and two, because if you have success without Joel Embiid, well, that means that you should be able in some way to change scheme, change plans, or whatever, just have whatever you're doing mirror what you're doing when Embiid is out as best you can. And I think, I'm not positive, I have to go back and check on this, I don't think that Joel Embiid went out and then they won 16 games. I think that they were in the middle of a winning streak, and then Embiid missed the last 8 games. I think that they were 8-0 with him, and then they ended up going 16-0. There was like another 8-game win streak after that, I think. I have to go back and check on that. But here's the deal. Like, if Embiid being out turns Ben Simmons into Giannis, then, I mean, then there's a conversation to be had. But from what I've seen, with all due respect to Ben Simmons, I do not see signs that Ben Simmons is going to turn into Giannis anytime soon. Good player. But it doesn't seem like that's in the cards right away, to put it that way. 610-632-0975. Brad and Wayne is next on the Fanatic. What's up, Brad?
Hey, Joe. How you doing tonight?
Great. How are you?
Hey, man, if Brett didn't have enough conundrums in the last 4 years, last night proved to be his biggest one. And let me just break my thoughts down. Mm-hmm. On it. You saw a team last night with Horford at the five, with Ben running the floor, coast to coast, that makes you want to say there might be a starting 5A and a starting 5A1. And, you know, that's up to Brett to figure out. It's a tough one, man, because you can clearly see that the dynamic of Embiid, Simmons, and Horford on the floor at the same time does not work effectively or efficiently. It just doesn't seem to work.
And in contrast, from a numbers standpoint, they have like the most prolific offense in the league when it's just Simmons and Horford together. Offensive efficiency in those lineups has been really, really good for the Sixers.
Yeah. And, you know, when we talk, listen, first of all, everyone just slow down, pump the brakes on this firing, trading, everybody. I mean, that. We got a really good squad. We have a lot of athleticism, a lot of length, a lot of speed, a lot of, you know, basketball IQ on the floor sometimes. I mean, Ben with the turnaround,
sure,
in the air, throwing the ball. I mean, I get it, you know, and we can bash that. He's a young kid. But, yeah, that's where I'm coming from. I mean, you know, and Brett's got another problem right now. So I think it's a good problem. I think moving forward to the playoffs now, if Embiid's on the bench for a little bit, see how it flows. And you might have to be, you know, find a new way to transition players on the floor from where we started. And it's a whole nother issue, man, which it's exciting for me, man, because I think the talent is there. I think we got the squad that can do it. They can at least challenge the Bucks in a 7-game series. Celtics, what? We just dropped 3 on them?
Yeah, 3-0. 3-0 against the Celtics, Brad. Thanks for the phone call. And here's what I'll say about this. People point to it. And I would caution people that the reason that I had that stat off the top of my head, they have the number one offensive efficiency in lineups where it's Simmons and Horford without Embiid. They're better than the Mavericks. Caution. is all I'm saying. And here's why. Because you have to decide what kind of team you want to be, what kind of team it's important to you to be. Because there are going to be lots of teams. The Sixers have been this team in the past that, thanks to transition game and open space and running the floor and stuff like that, that you win a whole lot of regular season games. But then in the postseason, in the playoffs, when the anchor kind of drops, do you have a counterpunch to go to? I said for a long time I didn't anticipate that the Sixers were going to be a great regular season team this year because they're gearing up for a playoff run. They're trying to figure out a way to play playoff basketball. And so I think that as a result, you're probably going to see some more uneven results over the course of the regular season. And the payoff, hopefully, comes in the postseason when everything's all hammered out and figured out. All right, Josh Rabick did some research for us. The Sixers were on a 7-game win streak, and during the 8th game, Embiid got hurt. Okay, so there you go. So they'd won some games before, ended up making it a 16-game win streak to end the regular season. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. We're going to get to Dennis next. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
So we're going to get back to the Sixers in a second. I had to share this with you because it just graced my timeline, and it is just hilarious and awesome. I'm got one eye on the Penn Princeton men's basketball rematch that's going on right now. It's super strange. They play like, for the first time ever, they played like back-to-back weekends last year, and it was like the earliest that the series had ever wrapped up in the season until this year. This is going to be the earliest that it ever wraps up. And this drifted across my timeline. Jake Silpe, who was a guard for Penn last year, popped up on my timeline. Somebody's tweeting at him, "Nice shooting in the Princeton game, Tex. Keep bricking. You got money on Princeton. Your teammates are shooting 55%. You're shooting 0%, and yet you keep throwing up trash." This was written 57 minutes ago. The game started at 5 o'clock. I'm like, wow, that's pretty tough criticism for anybody. And Jay quote tweets it, "Graduated last year, and ESPN has the wrong box score, but I appreciate you thinking of me, Tex." So I go to check. The live updates, the score is wrong, the time is right, and all of the players are wrong. It's awesome.
Could you imagine having money on that game? How upset you are right now.
You're losing your mind. You're checking out ESPN. You're like, what's happening?
You're putting all these purchases on your credit card thinking you're going to win the game, and it turns out you have the wrong score.
Oh, jeez. What a world. Man, see, the Six, no matter what drama the Sixers have, we never have to deal with stuff like that. We're always dealing with offensive efficiency numbers and lineups and real plus minus and all that other kind of stuff. It's Josh Rabick. I'm Joe Torti. And of course, we're discussing life after Joel Embiid, at least for the short term here, and seeing what that looks like. Let's go to Dennis in South Jersey next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I was watching the game last night, you know, between the Sixers and the Boston Celtics, and I decided to do something a little bit different this time. Instead of paying attention a lot to what the Sixers were doing, I was paying attention to the Boston Celtics team.
Okay.
And looking at it as opposed to, like, as if I was a Boston Celtics fan.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, it gave me a different perspective on the way that the Philadelphia 76ers are assembled as a basketball team. And I noticed is when the Boston Celtics came down in the half court on offense, they tried to get a shot. It was hard for them to get an open shot because the Sixers have so much length, so much athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came back for them to play on defense, it seemed like they didn't even really have to try because the Sixers don't really have a threat to score. I mean, Josh Richardson got a little hot. Al Horford hit a couple shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tobias Harris, he was kind of like, really didn't do nothing. Maybe I think Boston might have played a little bit of tougher defense on him.
Sure.
But when it comes to the half-court defense, when you're playing against the Sixers, it's almost as if you don't have to do nothing. You can just take that play off and just focus on trying to get an open shot. So the way that this Sixers team is assembled with so many great athletes and so much length, I don't know what they're going to do as far as when the big games come in the playoffs, how they're going to get their shots in the half court. I mean, the most skilled player is their center, Joel Embiid.
For sure,
and
yeah.
I guess their second most skilled player is Tobias Harris. Everybody else is, I don't know, it just seems like they can't get no buckets.
Well, you don't like Simmons' skills then?
I mean, Simmons basically is a big guy, very athletic, but he can't play basketball. I mean, he can dribble a little bit, but there's plenty of big 6'9" guys in the NBA.
Well, what do you want to see? I mean, he's an elite level defender. He's an elite level rebounder. He's
right.
an elite level passer.
Right.
He can do a lot of things, you know, that I'd call playing basketball, wouldn't you?
I mean, I think he looks to pass more. I don't necessarily believe that he's that much better than, let's say, you know what I mean, another skilled big guy that can pass. I don't think he necessarily is a better passer than, let's say, like a Kevin Durant or what have you. It's just that he passes more than Kevin Durant, you know?
Mm. So your issue is with the shooting more than anything, right?
Basically, they don't have them. If you're not going to be a great shooting team, then you have to have a go-to move, a move that you can, a patented move that you can get buckets on, that a team sees you on that point on the court and know that, okay, he's a threat to get a bucket. And Ben Simmons doesn't have that. He doesn't have a patented move. He's just a big guy that's athletic that looks to pass.
Well, yeah, Dennis, you're right about one thing. Thanks for the phone call. That he definitely does not have a beat you off the dribble move that he goes to a lot. But Brett Brown has talked about the importance of trying to post him up more, about trying to get him shots closer to the basket, things like that. I disagree with what Dennis said about him not being skilled. I mean, I think that Ben Simmons is highly skilled in a lot of areas. I know that here's the paradox and here's the conundrum. Shooting the basketball is the most important thing in basketball in 2020. It's the most important skill to have, and it's not one that at the very least Ben Simmons shows. It's, you know, whether he has it or not, who knows? But it's not one that he shows off in his game. However, the frustrating thing, at least for me, turnovers aside, because he does make them, sometimes his decision-making has been a little suspect. I will give you that. Outside of that and the shooting, he's either great to elite level at a lot, at almost everything else, at almost every other element of basketball. And that's why it's hard for me to just write him off as this unskilled guy just because he can't shoot. You know, I think that what he does running the point and then transitioning to defending little guys and big guys, plus being able to move around the floor. He's been an active guy in the screen and roll game whenever the Sixers have actually decided to do it, which is kind of feeling like a blue moon kind of situation now. But I don't agree. I mean, and this is coming from somebody who is not on as high on Ben Simmons as I think a lot of people in the media are and a lot of people in the city are. But to say that he's not skilled, I think, is to downplay his talents a little bit. 610-632-0975, your phone number, top of board. You can reach out on Twitter as well, at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. See, I would almost look at it the other way. I would look at it as the players that you have on the team that are not those guys need to be able to do more, need to be able to give you more than they've given you in the last, what, month? Now you got 29 points from Josh Richardson, 23 points against Oklahoma City. As far as I'm concerned, it looks to me that Josh Richardson's turning a corner a little bit. I mean, he's had several 20-plus point games this season. He had a 30-point game this season, almost had another one last night. It seems like he's starting to turn the corner. And he did it last night, by the way, going 1 of 5 from three. I don't understand. Well, like, I this kind of sums it up, actually. And this is a tweet that was just coming in from 76ers39. Talking about the idea that Boston didn't have to do anything on defense. They beat this team three straight times and came back from 15 down at one point in this game. So, I mean, I guess it's possible that they weren't defending the Sixers, and that's how they came back. But I don't know. I just think that the Sixers, the way that they're built right now, it's not the Golden State Warriors, the old Phoenix Suns with Steve Nash, or this year the Houston Rockets, right? The Sixers aren't going to look like that. But look at the teams that they're beating, right? Like, they're beating Milwaukee. They got housed by Indiana. Full disclosure, I think Indiana's a nightmare matchup in the playoffs, and I don't think they can win that series. I think that's the one team that they can't beat in a series, especially if Oladipo plays. I just think it's a death matchup for them. I really don't like it. But other than that, they're built to beat playoff teams at playoff basketball. So if that's the case, I'm okay with it. You need to see them win more regular season games. Home court advantage is important. And obviously seeing them develop and change their roles after Joel Embiid's finger dislocation and his surgery is going to be important. But I'm not pulling the panic button just yet. A little early for that, as far as I'm concerned. 610-632-0975. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome back, Joe Torti Show. 97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. We'll hear from head coach Brett Brown of the Philadelphia 76ers. He was on with Mike Missinelli. We'll hear from him at 7 o'clock. For now, we keep rolling on the phone, 610-632-0975. Kevin in South Jersey leads things off on the Fanatic. Hey, Kev. Kevin, you with us?
Hey, how's it going?
Going great. How are you?
Doing good.
Good. What you got, man?
Yeah, so, you know, I love the Sixers. You know, I'm a diehard fan. I love what they're doing right now. Just kind of looking into the future, you know, when it comes to playoff basketball, you know, once everything settles down in the half court, I just feel like we're missing, you know, kind of that ISO player, kind of just going back to, you know, what we had in Jimmy Butler, you know, coming in down in the late stretch of the game. And I think we're just missing that one ISO player. I don't know how we're going to, you know, make that happen. But I just feel like when we get into the half court, you know, if someone, I feel like, you know, Ben Simmons, I love his game. You know, I love everything about him, even though all the hate he gets for his jump shot. Just feel like it would be better in certain situations for him to play off ball. Just feel like he can get more open in those situations if someone, you know, like a Trey Burke or something like that.
Sure. Well, so what do you think of the job that, like, he's done, for example? And so the one that I'm curious about is, can Josh Richardson do anything like that in big-time minutes?
Right. And I actually feel like, you know, with the amount of, you know, what we're paying him, Tobias should be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he should learn how to come off the dribble and take those big shots, you know, once the floor opens up, you know.
Well, yes, I agree with you on that. But I think what he would tell you and what the Sixers have told you, that he's been pretty effective, and they brought him back because of the things that he does well, not really, you know, asking him to add on new parts to his game. But I hear you. Like, when you're thinking about a guy who's a max contract player, you'd think that they're going to be able to give you everything that a lot of other max contract guys would give you.
Exactly. And that's just kind of how I see him. You know, I'm just comparing him with all the other max players. You know, he does. I love his game. You know, he definitely has the skill set to do those things. You know, he's a really good shooter, can put his, you know, back to the basket, go on the post, drive, you know, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice just to see him come off the dribble a little bit more, you know, in those iso plays. But just when it comes to playoff basketball, you know, I just kind of wondering how that's going to take place.
Yeah, well, Kev, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. There have been, last year, for example, right, you had Jimmy Butler, who was a bucket getter. For sure, right? He's a guy who, even this year still, is a guy who in isolation situations could work on his man, blow by, either hit a pull-up jumper or get all the way to the hoop or something like that, right? And you don't have somebody that you'd call a natural candidate for that spot this year. I'd like to offer my official apology. This is from me to you, and you know who you are out there. The people that called in and said that the Sixers should get involved in the Carmelo Anthony action. And I said, yeah, I'm not sure about that. I'm sorry. My apology straight to you, because Carmelo Anthony has been doing things recently, kind of exactly what the doctor would order when it comes for the Sixers. I mean, it's not like he's a full-on monster any given night, but he has had the potential to do that, right? Like, so you look at his scoring totals in his recent games here. 8, 28, 11, 16, 26, 10, 13, 12, 23, right? Like, that's dating back into December. I don't need Carmelo Anthony to come here and be a guy that you count on all the time, but if there's a matchup you want to exploit, if there's a bucket that you have to get, everybody's cold, I'm sorry. I said I didn't love the idea. I apologize. I like the idea more now. It's too late. Portland's got him. So I wanted to get that out there into the universe, too, before I forgot about that. Because Carmelo Anthony's certainly been playing well, and he has a skill set that would be most welcome on this version of the Sixers team. 610-632-0975. You can also reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. Speaking of The Fanatic, I want to remind you that the Fanatic Pro Shop is now open. And it's been open for business for a while, even though the holiday gift-giving season is over. Now that you're finished buying gifts for everyone else, it's time to buy something for you. Quality Fanatic in Philadelphia sports-themed merchandise and apparel at discount prices. The Fanatic Pro Shop can be found at 975thefanatic.com. Let's go to Pete in Princeton on 97.5. What's going on, Pete?
What's up, man? How are you, Joe?
Doing great. How are you?
So, I've got a couple of comments. Number one, there are two questions for you. One, either or the other. One is, who do you think the biggest free agent the Eagles should target this offseason? Doesn't matter what position. That's my first question. My second question is, who actually gets credit for the playoff loss? Is it Josh McCown? How does a quarterback get labeled with a loss?
Who's the quarterback of record?
Yeah, like is Carson still winless in 0-0, or is he 0-1?
That is a good question. I think officially the way that it would go is that I think Carson would get the loss because they were behind when he left. But I'd have to go back and double-check that. I think the Wentz would be 0-1.
And how ironic, because in my opinion, he should not get the loss because you know, obviously he only played, you know, six plays or, you know, whatever it is, whatever that time frame is.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I've heard people, media people at your station and other places, they don't even want to name Nick Foles' name.
Because
here we are, we can't let Carson get credit for a loss. He hardly played. But now they want to give him the credit for winning the Super Bowl in a playoff run that he never played it down in.
Well, I mean, he deserves at least equal credit, I think, because home field advantage played a massive role in that run. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, I don't know why, and thanks, Pete, appreciate it. I don't know why we've always had to go one versus the other when it was, you know, two rowers pulling in the same direction trying to win the Eagles the Super Bowl. In terms of free agents, I'd have to look. The problem with projecting free agents now is that they have franchise tags, transition tags, like new deals. You don't even know who could potentially be available. Off the top of my head, I'd be intrigued by Robbie Anderson, depending on what the cost is for Robbie Anderson. But I think that he's a prime candidate for one of those retaining tags from the Jets.
So, I agree.
I don't know. We'll see. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. We're going to get more of your phone calls next. Plus, we're going to hear the entirety of the Brett Brown interview with Mike Missanelli coming up on the other side. Yeah, about Zaire. I bet Zaire does not come up. I would bet he does not make an appearance. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.